Hello, welcome to a fishing solo episode of our Casting Nets podcast. And I would like to share with you today an opportunity to gather around God's Word just a little bit more as we are all in our own stay-at-home mandates, as we are protecting ourselves from the COVID-19, and just maybe in general looking for other ways to gather around God's Word and maybe do a little bit of a study. So I'm going to do some of these fishing solo episodes dealing with a study of the book of Philippians. And I think the book of Philippians is a good thing for us to study. Not only is it sharing some wonderful words from Paul for us, but also wonderful words of the Spirit as the Spirit leads Paul to give us these words. The focus of Philippians, mainly, which is repeated over and over and over again, is that of joy and things of joyousness, things of rejoicing. Even in the times of trouble, even in the times of struggle, or in Paul's case, times of imprisonment, as we will see, this is one of his prison letters as he is in Rome under house arrest. And so let's jump on in. I want to take it in small groups. Hopefully this is not going to be a long episode for you, but something just to maybe keep you going throughout the week. Maybe we'll do daily ones every other day, whatever I get time. But we'll continue to look at the book of Philippians until we're done. So let's jump on in. We're going to go through here the first 11 verses of the book of Philippians. Chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a remarkable entrance into his book. Here we have a couple of people who are writing this, right? We have Paul, we have Timothy, who is the pastor in training. Servants, of course, of Jesus Christ. That way, we have the highlight here of their pastoral role as they are giving this guidance to this church. To all the saints, those who have been claimed by Christ, had faith worked in them by the Spirit, these are saints now in Christ, ones considered perfect in the eyes of the Lord there in Philippi. We have also something I think is very interesting when it comes to church polity and how they arranged their church. We have here overseers and deacons. We still have those in some of the churches, in some churches here today, overseers and deacons, those people who are, you could say, pastors, right? Those leaders, the people, the elders who are helping the congregation and help leading it. We continue in verse 2, where it said, grace to you. You see Paul's focus on grace, that undeserved love of Christ for us. That here it is, it's very prominent in the very beginning of this book, that grace leads to peace. Not a peace that is ours because we've done something or ours because we have given up something, but because God has given to us undeserved love. God has provided for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. That this is something that is now ours because he gave it, and it brings to us a peace. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Every time I pray for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We stop there, just dealing with those first, or those three verses, 3 through 6. Do you see the focus that Paul is highlighting? He's highlighting a joy that he has in people who are sharing in the gospel, people who are growing in the gospel and then sharing that gospel in their own lives. This is the wonderment of the body of believers. As you have an opportunity to maybe pick up the phone and call somebody or get on Google Hangouts or Skype or anything to highlight that wonderful message of the gospel, to share the comfort of your Savior who has everything in control. And isn't that what he says in verse 6, as he's giving this joy of fellowship, as he's expressing the joy of working together and sharing that gospel message, he then says, I am convinced of this very thing. There is no doubt in his mind of his conviction that he who began, that is Christ, that is the Spirit, that is our triune God, that he who began a good work in you. He focuses our attention once again that our faith, that our belief, that our understanding of the gifts of God are not ours in the sense that we came to some conclusion, that we all of a sudden just accepted, woke up one day and said, I think I'm going to follow this Jesus person. But no, that this is something that was given to us, created in us, worked in us by the triune God, by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the very word and sacrament, through the gospel message played out in scripture, played out in tangible means for you. And he's going to bring it to completion, all centered, all grounded in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm equally convinced, verse 7, that it is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart. For both in my chains and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all share in this grace with me. Yes, God is my witness of how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So we have here the confirmation of the gospel. We have a defense of the gospel, the sharing of God's grace, not only from the people in the Philippian church, but also of Paul while he is in his chains. In verse 8, you have the witness, right? That God is his witness. He's calling to the Lord to definitively give justification to what he is going to say. And that is that he longs to share the gospel with these people. Just like we long to share the gospel with you, dear listener, that affection we have, that brotherly love, that familial love that we have in Christ is something that we would like to share. And he finishes up that beginning section here in verse 9 through 11, where he says, and I pray that your love may still increase more and more in knowledge and every insight. This will result in your approval of the things that really matter, so that you will be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so here, there he is. He ends this opening statement to the book of Philippians, right, with a prayer not only of a love that the Philippian church can share with one another, but a love that is rooted in Christ, that gains more knowledge in Christ and gathers more insight about what Christ has done for you. And that's the tools we're trying to give to you during all this time, to gather around your Lord and to study and learn more about him. And this results in approval, right? This results in good and God-pleasing things that will be in your life as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, is everything going to be perfect? Absolutely not, because we are not perfect. But our Savior is, and his work for us is, and his life for us is, and his death for us was perfect, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, his resurrection, the perfect life now ours, as he declares us not guilty. And that's the fruit of righteousness given to you that comes through Jesus Christ in glory and in praise of God. And those are the words I leave you with. We're at 10 minutes, and God be praised that you have an opportunity to share this wonderful gift with those who are around you, and may you have a very blessed day.